While some of them were outright skeptics, others sought to wed rationalism to Christianity. The spectrum ranged from skeptics to deists to traditional theists, and it varied from country to country. Fragmentation was inevitable, since some rationalists sought compatibility between revelation and reason, while others, who we might call pure rationalists, denied supernatural revelation altogether, assuming belief in the miraculous was irrational. Since the truth claims of Scripture rested upon the validity of the miraculous, for these individuals it followed that the Bible could not be trusted. And since Jesus' own claims to divinity depended upon miraculous accounts, Christian orthodoxy was untenable, it was said. What made this so avant-garde was that pure rationalism planted seeds of doubt. Many of its proponents labored to show that Scripture no longer was trustworthy, and given how much the supernatural pervades its pages, readers who assumed an anti-supernatural worldview were compelled to reappraise and reconstruct its message. Well, that leads us to a movement known as theological liberalism. If the Enlightenment's hot day in the sun was the 18th century, liberalism had its day in the 19th century, bleeding into the 20th century as well. But what is theological liberalism? Protestant liberalism was an intentional renovation of Christian orthodoxy to accommodate Enlightenment thought. Now, this didn't mean that liberalism accepted the rationalism of the Enlightenment uncritically, but it did believe in the necessity of recasting Christianity to meet the concerns raised by the Enlightenment. By adopting the Enlightenment's anthropocentric optimism, liberalism advocated a theology from below. A theology from above seeks special revelation as the Christian's norm, sola scriptura. A theology from below looks first to human experience as one's norm. In liberal theology, one acquires knowledge about God from universal human experience. Revelation may still play a role in the liberal theologian system, but such revelation must be evaluated and assessed by human experience, which sits as the ultimate judge and jury. Gary Dorian, a leading contemporary authority on Protestant liberalism, says it this way. Liberalism sought to be genuinely Christian without being based upon external authority. It was an effort to make Christianity modern and progressive, and the scriptures were now interpreted from the standpoint of modern knowledge and experience. You see, religious knowledge and experience, not scripture, became the determining norm. A theology from below approaches the Bible critically. Scripture may be a classic of human literature, but we can never conclude that it is supernaturally given, inspired by God, and without error. Liberalism was committed to a certain form of the historical critical method so that stress fell on the Bible as a human book. The supernatural in the Bible could be explained by ordinary causes. Large portions of the Old Testament, it was argued, were simply fictional. Numerous biblical persons and places never actually existed, and many biblical events never really happened. The New Testament fared only slightly better, since its portrait of Christ was historically inaccurate, it was said. We shouldn't miss the connection here between inerrancy and sola scriptura. For Protestant liberals, the rejection of the former resulted in the rejection of the latter. Scripture lacked supreme authority and was insufficient in part, they believed, because it was full of inaccuracies, both historical and theological. Liberalism also held a largely negative view of dogma. Doctrine must be necessarily subjugated to religious experience and intuition. The Bible itself was merely a human reflection on religious experience, not revelation from God, a record of human experience that could evolve from generation to generation, much like poetic idiom. To believe that first century dogma or creeds are normative for us today, they said, was preposterous.